the Lord.
All right, for our scripture reading, I want to read out of Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And then I want to read secondly in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter 30, excuse me, chapter 24. And then also Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. Let's read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, first of all. Verse number 6. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Proverbs chapter number 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and as thy wont as an armed man. My scripture text tonight is the last portion of Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. If the Lord would stand by me tonight, I want to preach on the barrenness of a busy life. These haunting words are most challenging to all who are engaged in Christian service, to all of you who are Sunday school teachers, to all of you who profess Christian faith, to you parents, to you young people, to each of us that claim the name of Christ. All of it is summed up in this one statement. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard I have not kept. The danger of being overtaken with busyness. The danger of being overtaken with the cares of this life. Too often we're so concerned about our public profession. We're so often concerned about the activity that goes on with everyday life until we fail to understand that inward neglect and spiritual declension causes backsliding and falling away from God. You see, the one who confesses her neglect in this passage, she was not neglectful of her duties, this woman here in Song of Solomon 1. She had been made black by the sun as she labored among the vines in the heat of the day. She was the keeper of the vineyard, but she had neglected her own vineyard. First of all, notice what I call the privilege we enjoy. What is it, this privilege we enjoy? It is this, that we as Christians, as servants of the Lord, we are keepers of the Lord's vineyard. We have been saved by His wonderful grace, and He has set each of us in a certain specific area of service. It is in that area that we are accountable to work for Him. We are in that place by divine appointment. It's not just something that happened to happen. It's not coincidence, but God made us the keeper the vineyard. And for instance, look at my specific area of service. I am the pastor of this church. It is God that will hold me accountable for the labor that I do. If I am neglectful, if I am slothful, if I am lazy, if I do not fulfill my calling, it is God that will judge me. Can you say amen? I am preaching to parents here tonight. I am preaching to you that still have little ones about the home. God is holding you accountable for your specific area of service. If you do not keep your house, if you do not labor in your home, if you are not the trustworthy parent and guardian of your home that you should be, God will not hold another accountable, but He's going to knock on your door. Personally, you are accountable for your own vineyard. You are accountable for your own life. You see, it's true with all of us. We did not choose the Lord. He chose us. And by divine appointment, He put each of us in a specific area of service. It's a privilege that we enjoy. A lot of times we feel like that we got a corner on the market. A lot of times we feel like that because of who we are and what our name may be, you know, that it's something that everybody ought to be real glad to have us to do it. No, my friend, none of us are indispensable. If I move on off the scene, it'll be just a few short days. Somebody will be in my place. And the same way with you. I want to be as charitable and as kind as I can. There's no one that is in the service of the Lord that is irreplaceable. There is no one that is working in the kingdom of God that is indispensable. If you can't do your job, if you don't have a burden to do your job, if you don't have a burden for your class, if you don't have a burden to teach them, what you need to do is resign, get out of there, and God can put somebody in there that's got a burden. I know of churches, and you do too. Sad to say, they're drying up. They're dying. The congregation is dwindling away. All because there's a man that holds the pulpit that very honestly has no burden for the church, that has no concern for the lost, but he simply stays there because he wants a pulpit to fill, and he does not want to be without a place to preach once a week. But my friend, that's not what pastoring is about. Pastoring is about a burden for lost souls. Pastoring is about weeping for the souls of men and laboring in the field. And if I can't do the job, I pray God give me the wisdom to get a U-Haul and hook up and get out of here. You gonna help me while I preach? You see, friend, working in the field of the Lord is a privilege that we enjoy. If you are a minister, it's a privilege that you enjoy. Live up to your calling. Or get out of the call. Well, that deserves a better amen than that. I mean, if you're not going to walk the walk, quit talking the talk. If you're not going to do your job, get out of the way and somebody else will do it. You see, it doesn't matter if you're a mother or a father, or what you are. What area of service that you may find yourself, do it. And whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. You know, it seems like that there is a spirit that is so prevalent in Christian service, in a Christian life. It's just, you know, an old lazy, haphazard, I don't care attitude about the things of God. And I want to tell you, that right there is never going to get the job done. I mean, you know, well, if the service goes over, that's good. If it don't go over, you know, I want to tell you, there's nothing good about a dead service. This is not a mortuary, and this is not a library. There's no sign that says, quiet, please. This is the sanctuary. This is the house of God. And you know what I like about people that really love God? When they really love God, they come and they worship with everything they've got. When they come and sing, they sing with all of their heart. They worship with everything that is within them. You know, when it comes to our worship, we should acknowledge that it is a privilege and not something that we're doing half-heartedly or something we're doing haphazardly, something that we're just hurrying up. They'll go on through the preliminaries and get on through all of that and get the preacher up there so he can rant, rave a while, and then we can go to McDonald's or Burger King or Hardee's or wherever you want to go. No, my friend, the very idea of coming to church is to worship God and to magnify His holy name. Amen. And get in the Spirit. I'd like to get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I'd like to get in and worship God. I'd like to realize, amen, I want to do something for God, and I want to do it with all of my heart. You say, preacher, are you preaching to me? If you're lazy, I'm preaching right to you. Preacher, you mean you're talking to me? If you've got one of them most slothful, lazy, I don't care attitudes about the things of God, I'm preaching right to you tonight. You see, that's the attitude that so many people have. Slothful, lazy, I don't care. The wise man said, I walk by the field of the slothful. You see, here was a man that had opportunity. Here was a man that had potential. Here was a man that had a chance to do much. But he was lazy. And he didn't care. I wonder if spiritually speaking here tonight, am I preaching to some slothful Christians? Am I preaching to some people that about your home life, about your personal life, and about your Christian service, you have become slothful. And you've got that attitude, I really don't care. I just really don't care. You know, I never did like a dirty house. I'm thankful that God gave me a wife that keeps a good clean house. You know, I believe that when a man comes home from work, he ought not have to kick his way in the door. I believe when a man comes home from work, they ought to be a supper sitting on the table at a decent hour. I believe that the woman is to be the keeper of the home. Now, if you disagree, you just need to get a different Bible, because the King James Bible said that the woman is to be the keeper of the home. I believe that there ought to be order in the home. I believe that the head of the woman is the man, and the head of every man is Christ. Am I still in the Bible? I believe there is a distinct order about everything. And I believe that home ought to have an ordered way about it. I believe that things ought to be mannerly and clean. Everything in its prospective place. Amen. And if all of that is important, and I believe it is, don't you think that it is just as important that our souls be well kept? Amen. That we make sure that we're not lazy, that we're not slothful, amen, about the things of God. Amen. Now, some of you are done backing up on me because you know where I'm headed, but that's all right. You see, because there's some of you, you're not faithful in your daily devotion. You're not faithful in your daily prayers. You're not faithful to have communion with God. All because you have this lame excuse and this crutch that you're leaning on saying, I'm too busy. Well, I want to tell you, if you're too busy to pray, and if you're too busy to read your Bible, and if you're too busy to maintain Christian service, you need to change your priorities. And you need to realize that God's got to be on first. And you've got to make God first in your life. You see, somehow or another, God always comes up least and last. And with all the leftovers. We jump out of bed in the morning, run out the door, rush through the day, go, 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 go all day long, And then, when you're so tired that you can hardly keep your eyelids open, you want to pick up your Bible and try to find the verse and say a quick prayer, and off to sleep you go. The barrenness of a busy life. I suggest that you begin every day with God. You say, "Preacher, I don't have time." You'll have time if you get up 30 minutes earlier. You'll have time if you get up a little earlier. Get away with the Lord for a while. Start the day with God. Have a planned Bible reading program. Now, I'm trying to say some things that will help you tonight. If it's a chapter a day, if it's three chapters a day, or whatever it may be, read your Bible. And then after you've read your Bible, pray. Amen. Consider not only the privilege that we enjoy, but the peril we face. And the peril that we face is the busy life is a barren life. You see, there's no fruition. There's no fruit. How easy it is to go through the work of our day, but we neglect our own inner life. We have no personal communion with God. Someone said that it's the shoemaker's boy who wears the poorest shoes, and the tailor's son who wears the shabbiest clothes. And could it be possible that the preacher's the one that has the least devotion? Are the teachers the one that has the less time of prayer? Is this just too close or boring or what tonight? You see, the peril we face is we think that because of our calling, that just takes care of all of it. You know, because of what our calling is, that itself will get the job done. But I'm talking to you about the possibility of neglecting the cultivation of one's inner life with communion with the Lord Himself. They made me keepers of the vineyard. Mine own have I not kept. It's all grown over with thorns and nettles. How can I avoid the peril? How can I escape the danger of neglecting that time I need alone with God? I know, I can hear you now. You're talking back to me. "Preacher, you don't have to do what I have to do." It works both ways. You don't have to do what I have to do. All of us are busy people. We live in a busy world, and sad to say, we've got more conveniences than we've ever had, but it seems like we've got less time than we've ever had. I understand all of that. So then if we know we're in a busy time, if we know that this is a hectic hour, then what must we do? We must redeem the time, because the days are evil. We must buy up the time. We must take advantage of every opportunity that we have. And we must understand, no matter what happens, I can't neglect my vineyard. I can't neglect my soul. I can't let anything keep me from prayer. I can't let anything keep me from my relationship with God. You know, when some of you pray when the preacher says it's time to pray. You know, when some of you read your Bible, when the preacher announces his text, if you were to happen to bring a Bible to church with you. You know, when you kneel and pray, when we have an altar service, if you so desire to come and kneel and pray. But that's about the extent of your Bible reading, and that's about the extent of your prayer, because you are too busy. You're too busy with other things. You're too involved with other things. I want to preach to you tonight. You cannot be sensitive to the mind of the Spirit. You cannot be moved upon by the Holy Ghost if you've lived carnal all week long. You know what? I've never had anyone come to me and confess that they backslid on their knees. As a matter of fact, you can't backslide on your knees. I don't believe you can backslide praying. Oh, come on here now. You can't do it. But you know those same people that don't have time to pray? Those same people that don't have time to read their Bible? Those same people that just don't have time to get in the altars are the same people that can sit in front of a TV for hours at a time. I mean, those same people that can pick up a romance and read it from cover to cover without putting it down. They're the same people that's got plenty of time for DVDs and VCRs and every kind of hellacious thing that comes over the internet. They got plenty of time for that, but they do not have any relish. They do not have any appetite. They do not have any desire. They have no hunger. They have no thirst for the things that be of God. You say, preacher, are you preaching to me? If you're guilty, I'm talking straight to you. What you need is a fresh desire for the things of God. What you need is a brand new hunger for the things that are spiritual. You feed your mind that carnal stuff all week long. You feed your mind, amen, and you satisfy those lustful cravings and those worldly desires. No wonder you can't get anointed in the house of God. No wonder you can't get anointed and feel the touch of heaven. But if you'd get your prayer closet, if you'd pray through, if you'd get a hold of God, it wouldn't be hard for you to worship God when you come to the house of God. You say, preacher, it seems like every time I hear you preach, you're on it. Well, if I'm back there in that prayer room praying, and God deals with my heart to preach about it, it must mean that somebody needs it. It must mean that there's somebody that's filling their mind full of that rot, that puke, that filth, and that garbage that's coming over that computer screen. Now, if it ain't so bad, then why is it busting up our homes? If it ain't so bad, then why are women out of our holiness churches leaving their husbands and having affairs with other women? If it ain't so bad, then why are these chat rooms destroying homes? And I don't know if there's anybody here guilty, but if we've got any parents that are letting children and grandchildren get on the internet and stay in these chat rooms, would you please stop? You say, they're only talking to other children. How do you know that? There was a 13-year-old girl in Little Rock who thought that she was talking to someone her age. He set her up. He conned her into leaving her home where she lived with her dad. Her mother was deceased. She met who she thought to be a young man. It wasn't a young man at all. It was a man, if I'm not mistaken, he was 53 years old. He tied her hands and feet with duct tape. He abused and violated her body, and then he killed her. It all happened because of a chat room on the internet. Hey, man, I'm going to bring it home closer than that. I'm talking about people say, I just don't have time. But you got time for everything else. Recently at one of our holiness camp meetings, I'm not talking about Assembly of God, Church of God, Pentecost, I'm talking about holiness, free holiness camp meeting. This year, a girl of about 15 years old told her parents, she said, Mom and Daddy, there's a guy coming to meet me at the camp meeting. And they said, where did you meet him at? She said, I met him at youth camp a year ago. Well, the camp meeting rolled around, and this guy showed up with a family member, but he would never come inside the church. He did not want to meet her parents. He did not want to have anything to do with the services. They, of course, right away noticed that he was much older than what he had told her. He was not 15, 16, or 17, or whatever he might have said, but he was into his 20s. They began to do some checking. And furthermore, he didn't know anything about holiness. He didn't even know anything about God. As a matter of fact, when the truth all came out, he was a Mormon. You know how she met him? She met him on the internet. Oh, you're backing up on me now. Her parents put a stop to it when they found out what was going on. He went and got an address of a friend of hers, mailed that individual a cell phone. Now I'm talking about kids doing things behind mom and daddy's back. Sent that girl a cell phone via of a friend. It went on for a number of months, her talking to this guy on this cell phone, him paying the bill. You know what he had on his mind. You know what he intended on doing. But finally, a mom and daddy woke up and said, hey, wait a minute. We've been too busy. We've been trying to put out fires everywhere else. And we've neglected some things going on in the home. I'm preaching about the barrenness of a busy life. I'm talking about parents getting so involved with everything else. You don't even know what your own kids are doing. You don't know what they're involved in. You don't know where they're going or who they're talking to. It's time you wake up. This is a wake-up call. And I'm saying to some mama and some daddy, it's time you wake up and look around and see what's going on in the vineyard. How many more casualties are we going to have? How many more of these things are going to take place before somebody says, hey, I need to pull the cord on that thing, and I need to get that out of my house. Now, I want to know if it's a DVD, if it's a VCR, if it's the internet. I don't know what you're doing. But if it's taking your prayer time and you're involved in that more than the things of God, does it take the preacher having to preach like this to make you realize it's time you do something? It's time you get stirred? It's time you get a hold of God? Think not only of the peril that we must avoid, but the precaution we must apply. We must take care of the vineyard. There has to be pruning in the vineyard. You see, if there's going to be fruition, if that vine is going to bear fruit, there must be some pruning. There must be some cutting off of the fruitless branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That is, he cuts it off. Break off thy sins. You know what some of you need to do with some things is quit making excuses and just make a clean break. You know what some of you need to do about those things that are hindering your prayer life, that are hindering your faithful church attendance, that are robbing you of your spirituality? You know, if you'd just go ahead and clean up, you wouldn't be cross with the preacher when he preaches about it. I mean, if you just go ahead and admit that this is the reason of my failure, this is the reason of my prayerlessness, this is the reason of my unconcern, this is the reason of my carnality, if you'd just go ahead and confess it and do away with it, you could shout amen when everybody else shouts. Or more fruit. The idea of purging means to cleanse. It does not refer to dead branches as in pruning, but purging refers rather to cut back in order that fruit may be prolific and luscious so that it may bring more fruit. Can you say amen? Protection. That's the third thing that you must do. There must be pruning. There must be purging. And there must be protection. For take us, the little foxes, spoil the vine. What have I done if I've worked, if I've labored, if I've built my wall high, if I've plowed and planted well, if I don't watch out for those little foxes? If I don't watch out for that little bit of jealousy, that little bit of envy, that little bit of bitterness, that little bit of strife, and it's them little foxes that'll come in, and one by one, it'll destroy the vine. The barrenness of a busy life. Take care, friend. Take care, friend. Listen to your preacher tonight. I felt the Holy Ghost get a hold of my heart this evening. And I had one of those uneasy feelings all afternoon long. And I feel like God has sent somebody a message around here tonight. Oh, please help me, Holy Ghost. And they all began to say, "Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Is it I?" Could we look within tonight for just a moment? Could we take careful inspection of our lives and say, "Lord, is it I?" Stand all over the house. I want to try to give an altar. You've been patient. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come get me a song if you would, Brother Bobby. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. The barrenness of a busy life. While your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, listen to your preacher for just a moment. I accept. I acknowledge. I will admit. This is a busy time. But my friend, busyness is no excuse for barrenness. Have you become so involved? Have you become so entangled and caught up in other things till you have no time for the main thing? And they are some of you, I'll tell you just exactly where you're at. If you were more spiritual at home, you'd be more spiritual when you come to church. But you never mind spiritual things at home. You never pray at home. You never read your Bible. You never seek the face of God at home. And because you're carnal at home, you bring that same old carnal attitude inside the church. But you see, the carnal man, he doesn't mind the things of God. He has no savor. He has no appetite, no relish for spiritual things. And here's a good way to figure out if you're the guilty one. If the Spirit of God moves and you don't feel nothing, it's time you take account. If everybody else in the church can be singing and worshiping and magnifying, praising God, and you sitting around looking and wondering what in the world's going on, you done missed it somewhere, friend. I mean, if the presence and the power of God can move in this house and you don't feel a thing, you better get stirred. If the power of the Holy Ghost can move in these altars and begin to move and bless in this service, and all of a sudden you just sit down and look like, what in the world are they doing? Like you don't have any idea of what the Spirit is doing. It's time you shake yourself. It's time you take account and wonder, if God is moving, why can't I feel Him? If God is stirring, why don't I feel something? If God is shaking, why don't I feel Him move in my life? Barrenness of a busy life. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Oh, please help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, please help me, Holy Ghost. I wonder how many of you would be honest with God and the preacher here tonight. And you'd say, Brother MacDonald, there are some areas in my life where I'm barren. And God has revealed to me the problem. And God being my helper, I want to do something about it. Can I see your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Almost 100%. Thank you for your honesty.